Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And I'm back. I'm so excited to be. Hi, Catherine. I'm so excited to be back. I really had a wonderful holiday. It was so, so great. I went to my next door neighbor's Christmas party with her parents. They invited me over. And it was so great because they had her sister's boyfriend played an accordion.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Right? So he had this, you know, accordion thing. And so it was so great because we sang Christmas carols.
With the accordion?
With the accordion.
Like what type of Christmas carols
Good
do you sing?
King Wenceslas last looked out on the feast of Stephen.
Cool, girl.
When the snow was on the ground, deep and crisp and even.
Well, you can sing too.
So we sang all, we sang lots of Christmas carols, modern ones, old ones. And what I realized is a lot of the old English Christmas carols, they're like very violent. They're very violent.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never really studied them. I like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
No, that was okay. You've done that one too.
That's all bullying.
Yeah. It's bullying. Yes.
It is. It is.
Yes. I'm telling you, they're evil.
Rudolph is a badass.
And so we did that. We sang. We ate. They made a big roast beef. I feel like I was in the Grinch?
The Grinch.
Yeah. I feel like I was in the Grinch, but it was so good with massive roast. What do they call it in the Grinch?
I don't know, but someone on Facebook Live might know.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's all in Whoville.
Yes. So we had that. And then, it was great. We sang for hours. We just really got into it.
And all you had was the accordion.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It was really great. So
far, I've only been with you for like an hour. And
you're tired already?
No. My mind has been blown with your Christmas carol with the accordion and the fact... I don't know if people know this, but you've been with T-Mobile for 21 years.
This year, summer will be 21 years.
No one has been with T-Mobile for 21 years.
I have. They were VoiceStream. Was it OmniPoint, VoiceStream, and then T-Mobile? So we did that. And then for Boxing Days, because I have a friend that celebrates Boxing Day. I'm British and I don't even do that.
That's not a New York accent?
No.
That's British?
It's a Bronx accent.
Oh, yes.
I just watched a lot of PBS.
Yes.
So then I went to her house and we did puzzles. She had a 1,000-piece puzzle with butterflies. There were a gazillion children screaming and running around the house, dogs and cats and gingerbread houses. It was great. So thank you, Tara. That was like really a fun. I had a really great Christmas.
We got a puzzle back at the house.
That's okay.
That we're working.
I'm puzzled out.
No, you don't want to come over? Like, one of our dogs ate a few of the puzzle pieces, though.
So you have to wait for him to deliver it.
I think so. And it's one of the, I think one of the pieces he ate is on the edge. It's not good. But it's one of those 1,000 puzzle piece monsters. But we're tackling it. We're going to get it done sometime this year.
So we did that. What else? So I had a really good holiday, but I missed the show. I missed being on the show. But we're here and we're back. So anyway, less of me, like more of my guests. So tonight I have a guest, Mr. Michael O'Brien, and he is the author of Shift. And Shift is creating a better tomorrow's winning at work and in life. And we are going to talk to Michael about how he came to write this book, what happened to him that shifted his life, and... we're going to have some fun. So, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
To all the listeners out there, a hearty hello.
Hello.
And everyone live on my feed and Noreen's feed.
Hi, Maisha. So, Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself. And my question is, where were you born?
I was born in the beautiful city of Rochester,
New
York.
Not Bethlehem?
No, not Bethlehem. Rochester, New York, the home of Kodak, but more importantly, the home of Wegmans supermarkets.
Oh, that's right. They're coming to Brooklyn.
They are. It is.
They're coming to the Navy Yard.
Have you ever been?
No.
Oh, right. You have.
I've heard about
it. You have to prepare yourself. You have to set your intentions. Because once you walk into a Wegmans, your life will never be the same.
So on a scale of 1 to 10,
it's Wegmans, 11. It's an 11. It's a Spinal Tap moment.
I was going to say Wegmans and Whole Foods.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
You certainly joke. So yes, no, Wegmans is like Whole Foods and your favorite like pathway for those in New York, mm-hmm. if they had a marriage.
You mean Pathma?
Pathma, no, like Fairway.
Fairway, sorry. Okay.
So
if they had a baby.
If Fairway and Whole Foods got mm-hmm. married and had a baby, their baby would be Wegmans.
Oh. Okay.
And it would be the best baby that they ever had. Like that, they would only need one.
Okay.
Yeah, so Wegmans.
So is it like, you know, the most beautiful supermarket I ever went to was in Manhattan Beach in California, and it was just like a showstopper.
Wherever you went doesn't even compare to Wegmans.
Okay.
So all the people that are on the feed that have been to a Wegmans, they should say something because I don't want to be here out on my lonesome.
Okay.
But people in upstate New York, people in Pennsylvania, people in New Jersey, they know Wegmans. People down in Washington, D.C.
And we're not even being paid to talk about Wegmans.
This is, and you know what? You know what's the real rub? What? I applied for a job there when I was younger 3 times. Mm-hmm. They never hired me.
Why?
I don't know.
Did they wear bow ties and things like that?
No, they didn't do that. But they were part of Fortune 500's best companies to work for mm-hmm. in America. They consistently, like some data here, consistently rank in the top 10. So they're a legit company.
You are really into them.
I am. I always wanted a job.
You're
there.
Freaking me out. Like I freaked you out with T-Mobile, but yeah. You're freaking me out.
This
with
is
Wegmans.
Really good. Although I probably have set the bar so freaking high that you're going to go into Wegmans and you might be a little disappointed. So
not the first person that I've heard to talk about it. Like
yeah.
That.
No, it's magical. It's magical. So that's where I was born, Rochester, New York.
Okay, great. The home of Wegmans. Okay, so. Children, wife. I know you have an amazing wife, and basically I know your wife through the book and through the video that you talked about her, and I just think I love her. I want to marry her.
Yeah.
No. And I'm not even into women.
So Lynn is absolutely fantastic. Uh-huh. So the book is really, so I might be on the cover of the book, but she's the star of the book.
Okay.
So this May we're married 25 years. So 25 years, which is 4 years longer than your T-Mobile contract,
right.
Which is really amazing. So, but we met through a personal mm-hmm. ad. Uh-huh. So back before
yes.
There was Match.com, before uh-huh. there was eHarmony.
Was it like Voice? What's that magazine that we used to have here?
Voice? Well, so there used to be the Village Voice in the city, but Voice. Washington, D.C. had the city paper.
Okay.
And I put an ad in the city paper.
Who's calling me?
I don't know. It's probably the T-Mobile people because we're plugging them on
no,
the show.
Mr. Blocker, I'm on my show. If you want to talk to me, call in on the show. He's like, hey, what are you, Fat Albert? Call into the show. 877-480-4120. You might learn something tonight about Wegmans. Bye.
Say it one more time.
877-480-4120.
So Lynn and I have been married 25 mm-hmm. years come May. We have two amazing daughters, Elle 21, mm-hmm. Grady 18. Which is a little freaky because I don't feel like I've gotten any older, but they have. I'm not sure how that works.
You haven't gotten any older. You're still the same.
I'm still the same. Yeah. I'm still the same.
The spirit is still the same.
Yeah. So they're amazing daughters, an amazing wife. So she is the star of my Peloton, as I like to say.
Can I tell you that, like, I know your children are older, but like in my mind and reading and listening to your story, they're still babies.
Yeah, on that day, like, Elle was 3.5 years old and Grady was 7 months.
Right.
So it was like, they're not going to like me saying this, but I still see them sometimes that way. But now they're women, right? So it's like, they're not like my little girls anymore. Right. So
they'll always be your little girls.
They're women with, you know, a point of view and brilliance.
They probably
and
had
drive.
A point of view at three.
Oh, no, they definitely have, like, hey, the women in my life, including our cat Rosie, they all have a point of view.
Oh, you're surrounded by women.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I like it that way. I signed up for this.
I got it.
I love it.
So the reason why I got you on the show is because we were at Smart Hustle. Which
yeah,
is, Ramon Ray. Yeah. And I saw you talk, and you talked about your accident. You had a massive, you should not be here kind of accident.
Yep.
And I was just like, whoa, I want this man on my show. So I want, you know, it's talking about creating a better tomorrow, winning at work and in life. But really, the conversation is about survival, about thriving, living, pulling through, all of that good stuff. So tell us, describe that day to the people.
Well, so that day, July 11, 2001, I affectionately call it my last bad day.
Right.
So I was out in New Mexico. And so anyone in a corporation have been to corporation offsites, right? Team building activities.
Right.
And we're going to
And you won that book, The Art of War.
The Art of War. That was...
Because you went to war, baby.
I went to war that day. So the meeting was a little rough. So we flew out on Monday. We're going to fly back on Friday. Mm-hmm. It's July. I'm thinking, who goes to the middle of the desert in New Mexico in July?
Your company.
My company. Now, hey, they got a good rate, so we got to give them some applause for that. But I thought, hey, I'm going to be really smart. I was an avid cyclist, still am.
And you did the Tour de France.
Well, I didn't do the Tour de France.
You didn't do it.
I went to watch it.
Oh, I had you in it, man.
And I did Tour France.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But not on a bike.
So Tour de pair. What do you call it? The foot? Tour.
I have no idea.
IED. So I can't say it, but it's foot. Okay.
So I brought my bike out. I thought I was going to be really smart. Mm-hmm. I would ride my bike in New Mexico and avoid death by PowerPoint, or at least have some energy right before those meetings.
Death by PowerPoint.
Well, that's what corporations do to their employees. They do that. It's like, it's torture. So I brought my bike out. I was doing some laps around the hotel property, out the service road, up the main entrance. And on the fourth lap of that day, that morning, I came around a bend and a Ford Explorer was fully in my lane, going about 40 miles an hour, as the police probably predicted after the case. And I had nowhere to go. And I remember everything about that day.
You couldn't even jump off the bike.
I couldn't react fast enough because it's coming at me. And I'm like, it's going to move. And this is all going like...
Slow motion.
Yeah, slow motion, though. That's how it felt. And I'm like, certainly it's going to move. And I was like, oh my God, it ain't going to move. Mm-hmm. And into the front of the truck it went. I remember the sound of me hitting his grill. Mm-hmm. I flipped into into the windshield. I remember that sound. I remember the screech of his brakes. I remember the thud I made as I came off the hood of the truck onto the asphalt below.
I'm getting chills.
And I was obviously knocked unconscious, as the listeners would probably, you know, figure out. And then the EMTs arrived. So I was very fortunate. EMTs were close by. Mm-hmm. And when I regained consciousness, I asked the question that only another cyclist can really appreciate, which, you know, I asked them, hey, how's my bike? Because I was like, I was trying to cut the tension with a little humor because just the
thought. How much pain were you in?
Well, the thought of moving was painful. Like, it was the worst pain I ever felt. I felt really like sort of like a trapped animal. Like, I couldn't move. Just like, even just the slightest move was so painful.
And we were just talking about Pilates.
Pilates, yeah. It was a little bit different than the Pilates pain. So, I knew I was in a world of hurt just based on not what the EMTs were saying, because they were amazing, right? They saved my life. But the energy they had, and I knew I was in trouble.
Right.
And all I remember that morning was trying to will myself not to fall asleep. I was like, Michael, whatever you do, do not fall asleep. Do not fall asleep. Stay awake. Don't fall asleep. Stay awake. Because I thought if I could stay awake, I could control the situation, right? As silly and as stupid and as idiotic as that is, I thought I could control it. Mm-hmm. And then when they finally... brought the helicopter.
You were a bit of a control freak then, huh?
Well, I was trying to play a little Superman at work because I was a leader at work. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to play Superman at home because I was the dad and the provider and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a really good job of just like trying to like be calm on the outside, but pouring a lot of stress inside.
So inside it was like...
inside I was like pouring it in, trying to control it, trying to restrict it, trying to be all chill, being all that, right? And it was wearing on me.
Right.
And then literally and figuratively, all that energy. So when you put all that energy inside, it's going to go somewhere, right? It's going to pop up somehow. Mm-hmm. And literally and figuratively, the SUV knocked the crap out of me.
So how much blood did you lose?
Well, that first day I needed 34 units of blood product. So, because what happened is I broke a whole bunch of everything, but the major injury was when the left femur shattered. Mm-hmm. It also lacerated my femoral artery.
Right.
So the doctors told Lynn that if I was 10 years older or maybe not in shape at the time, I probably would have passed away before we got to the hospital.
Right. You'd have bled out.
Yeah. And there I was in the middle of the desert. Like I left, like when you see the photos, I left one, this is sort of a little gruesome, but I'll share anyway. I left one major ass stain on the road.
I know.
When you look at the photos in the book, you're like, yes. Like, oh snap.
Unfortunately,
like
you guys can't see it, but
it's real.
If somebody shares this three times, shares this video three times, they get this book. Shift. It can change your life. All right. So we're going to take a quick break.
All right.
And we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll
everyone.
Be right back.
Hey, Tiffany.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Michael, called earlier.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. Look at my cheekbones. They're so fabulous. Live Life Your Way. And I'm talking to Michael O'Brien, who is the author of Shift. And Michael is sharing with us his last best day. Last bad day.
But you know what?
What?
That last bad day
became your...
It turned into all my best days.
Awesome.
Look at that.
Awesome.
So that's segue.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you said on the break that like what you realized when you were in the helicopter is that you were chasing happiness.
Yeah, I was doing what I think a lot of people, even to this day, do, mm-hmm. is conditionalize their life. Mm-hmm. I'll be happy when I get promoted. I'll be happy when I get that new job. I'll be happy when I get the new car.
Buy the new house.
Yeah.
Get the pool.
And you know, and for me, what happened was for a moment, I did get promoted and I did buy the fancy car and I was happy.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, this is pretty cool.
But it's not sustainable.
No, it's like fleeting. It goes away. And then so what I ended up doing was like, well, I wasn't chasing hard enough. I wasn't chasing fast enough. So got to go back to chasing.
Right.
And I wasn't present and I wasn't aware and I wasn't all that. Mm-hmm. And I just kept on. Zig Ziglar, good old Zig Ziglar, has a phrase called the do, have, be way of living. Mm-hmm. Right. So do work your ass off. Have all the material possessions, and then you'll be happy. Yeah,
absolutely. Whereas it's the other way around.
Where you have to flip the script and
do the things that make you happy, and as a result, happy.
Yeah.
And then you spread happiness, and then happiness just is pervasive in your life. And it's
absolutely,
wonderful.
Absolutely. I didn't have that lesson prior to my accident, but I found it through my recovery.
So I'm hearing that. Despite the accident was the accident, but you got so much value for yourself, your life, and your family. This turned a whole, it was like a 180.
Yeah, I think it really was. It helped me shift my perspective in almost every
you
aspect.
You must be seriously hard-headed because you had to go to the brink of death to shift.
Hey, you know, hey, there's some hard-headed people out there. And I was, but I was, you know, Noreen, I was doing what I thought society wanted me to do.
Yeah, we were doing what you were trained to do.
Go to college, get a degree, get a gig, marry a girl.
Have some babies,
climb the corporate ladder, do all that stuff.
Then die.
And then, yeah.
Retire.
Yeah.
Live 1 year.
And
go
thought,
to Europe.
Hey.
Do the whole of Europe in 10 days. Yeah. And then die.
Yeah. Okay. Well, don't forget, you got to go to Disneyland, right?
Oh, that's so, right. You got to take the kids
to
Disneyland.
Yeah, you got to do that, which is really awesome and also torture. And all the parents know that. So it can be both thoughts in your head at the same time. But I was doing that.
You were on the treadmill.
It was treadmill. But I think what my last bad day really represented was a major pause button, right? Mm-hmm. So I hit the pause button pretty violently, obviously, pretty hard. And then here I was in the hospital for a long time, mm-hmm. and I had a lot
How
of time.
How long were you in the hospital for?
About 3 months all in, but they wanted me to leave the hospital. Plus, I wanted to leave the hospital too. I wanted to get
so
back to.
So you were
to
in the hospital in New Mexico?
New Mexico for a bit, in mm-hmm. the ICU for 4 days. Uh-huh. That's where I interviewed my wife for a job. I told her to
I told her
to buy Amazon stock, which uh-huh. back then in July of 2001, the Amazon stock was going for $15 a share.
Did she buy it?
No. Although we do have a little bit of a disagreement on whether or not we bought it or not. I don't think we bought it. I didn't hire her for the job.
Right, she has
forgiven me for that. I have forgiven her for not buying Amazon stock. And then I spent.
But isn't it good that we can laugh about it? Wait,
now we can laugh about it, right? Yeah. So, and then I was there, and then for a few more days, and then they flew me back to Hackensack here mm-hmm. outside of New York, and then finally to the Kessler Institute for Rehabilitation, mm-hmm. where they took Christopher Reeves,
yes,
the original Superman, at least my Superman, mm-hmm, when mm-hmm. he had his equestrian accident.
Right.
And then with the healthcare system the way it is, they wanted me to get out of the system, get right. back home.
Right.
And to be honest, we wanted to get back home too, because I wanted the smells and the feelings and the energy of home.
Right.
To help me recover.
Right.
So there was sort of dual interest in trying to get out of Kessler and just back to home. Although home wasn't easy because I still didn't have a lot of my function, right? Just taking a shower.
So somebody had to wipe your ass.
Well, not at home, but definitely in the hospital. Uh-huh. So
you were able to wipe your own butt in the house.
In the house I was, yes. Right. But you want to talk about a loss of dignity? Mm-hmm. Like the book was originally titled Life Looks a Lot Different on Top of a Bedpan.
Right.
Because there's nothing, like as an adult, like I felt I had hit rock bottom dignity-wise when I had to tell people, hey, I have to take a dump.
Right.
And I had to call the nurse in to wipe my ass.
Right.
I was like, how far have I fallen?
Speak up to the nurses.
Yeah, the nurses run the hospital. The doctors did amazing work, mm-hmm. but the nurses gave me comfort and care. Like
and love.
And love, and they saw me, they heard me.
Yep.
Like when you're coming in and you have to clean up a 33-year-old man, you have to do it with compassion and love.
Yes.
And I felt so low in those moments.
Okay.
And luckily I had, you know, great nurses, and my mom, retired nurse, so she was there, and there's just a lot of love for nurses out there.
Right.
They just make hospitals work.
So my thing is that when I was growing up, I was very sickly. Believe it or not, this vivacious, delicious body was very sickly coming up, right?
Pilates.
Yes, Pilates. And one of the things that my mother always said was sickness has no shame, right? Mm. You cannot have shame and be sick. You have to be open and willing to be sick, you know, get well, and have people support you while you're trying to make that journey,
yep.
right? So like, you know, being low, that was just the head talk.
Oh, total. Mindset, big part. Like, you know, the mind quits before the body does.
Right.
And so I had all those self-narratives coming out of in the early days of my recovery. All I could see was everything that I'd lost, everything that I didn't have.
Right.
Doctors told me they were trying to do, I know they were coming from a good place. They wanted me to set expectations realistically.
And what does that actually mean?
Well, they didn't want to get, they're like, hey, we've seen your story before. You have a lifetime of limitations in front of you. You have a lifetime of dependency. You have more surgeries. you're probably not going to be doing some of the things that you think you're going to be able to do.
And you said?
Well, at first, I bought into it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, snap. And some other words.
Did you really say, oh, snap?
No, I said a whole bunch of other words. And but in the quiet, so the...
Because I'm like, this is not Rice Krispies, babe.
Yeah, no, it's not Rice Krispies. It's not Cocoa Krispies no. either. But I do love a Cocoa Krispie.
Oh.
If you're going to go... Stay focused. So, but when the hospital was quiet, when mm-hmm. visiting hours were over, mm-hmm. those were some of the hardest moments because I wasn't sleeping. Mm-hmm. I was all drugged up. Mm-hmm. I was still in traction in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. I was having like horrible dreams.
I wish you guys could see these pictures.
Horrible dreams. And I just... There are a lot of nights where I just cried myself to sleep thinking right. like life is so unfair and why do bad things happen to good people? So right. in the beginning stages of my recovery, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of, hey, life is going to be different. The commitment I made, life was darker. It wasn't better.
So you got to see your true raw self.
Yeah, it was not pretty.
No
bueno. It wasn't good.
You got to see the real Michael Bryan.
It wasn't good. But the thing is, I was still trying to pretend a little bit. I was still like trying to be like, hey, I'm optimistic Obi. I'm like, we're going to make it. We're going to do it. But inside, I wasn't believing the narrative. So
yeah, you got to see your real shit.
Yeah. Until eventually I came back to New Jersey and I had like, we'll call it an aha moment uh-huh. where I was like, Let's save that.
I caught it. Right. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Hey, Frank. Hey, Cam.
Hey, Sheila. My sister's on.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin, together we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. So I'm going to give it back to you.
So we'll talk about that aha moment.
Your aha moment.
I was in Kessler and I was in a rehab session, just a typical on the mat. And I had a moment where I just looked around the room and I was like, why are some people getting better? And why are some people just struggling to get better?
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting better, but not the pace that I wanted. Like I wanted, like, you know, I had a corporate life of go, 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 make mm-hmm, it happen, mm-hmm, get mm-hmm. shit, you know, GSD, get
mm-hmm,
shit done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a moment.
Did you see how worthless that was? That was like, it's worthy, but it's also worthless.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your being is not.
Well, it was not a very aware hustle, mm-hmm. right? I wasn't mindful. Mm-hmm. I was just going.
You're
sort of
a machine.
Like a hamster on a wheel mm-hmm. almost, right? Not thinking, just mm-hmm. doing, right? Going mm-hmm. back to do, have, be.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I looked around. I was like, hey, Michael, you know, if you're going to be the person that you think you can be, like the best husband you can be and mm-hmm. the best father and leader and person,
mm-hmm.
you have to shift your mindset. Okay. You have to start approaching your rehab, your recovery a lot different. Because
how was you approaching your rehab?
I was going, I would say I was working at it, but also at the same time going through the motions.
Okay.
So I was bringing a lot of baggage into my rehab. I'm mm-hmm. like, this is so unfair. Why do I have to do it? Like, so I was there and I was working at it and I was trying and I was doing all that.
You were trying. That's the point.
So on the surface, if you just looked at me, you're like, okay, he's putting his effort in. But I had a whole bunch of like, this is not fair.
Right.
Like, this should not have happened.
Right.
And I had to let a lot of that crap go. Uh-huh. Eventually, I would
assert that you had to let it all go.
Yeah, but I didn't let it all go until later. There was still a lot of resentment, mm-hmm. a little grudgy, mm-hmm. you know, towards the driver until we had one visit to Europe in 2012. And I met this woman, Eva Kaur. Mm-hmm. She runs a Holocaust museum in Terre Haute, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And we had a private tour of a concentration camp mm-hmm. in Poland. And during the visit, mm-hmm. what one person asked, like, in essence, how do you feel about the Germans? How do you feel about the Nazis? And she said, I forgive them.
Right.
And I was like, what? Say what? Mm-hmm. And she said, I have forgiven them because... Not because they deserve forgiveness, but because mm-hmm. I do.
That's right.
If I carried around all the anger, all the animosity towards them in my life, I couldn't be the person mm-hmm. who I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I was like, all right, I can forgive the driver fully. I can let all that go.
Right.
So my recovery wasn't, there were definitely aha moments.
I just want to ask about that. So forgiveness is seven times 70, right? Because forgiveness is like, I forgive him. Then it's like this. Shit comes back up and then you have to forgive him again and some more shit comes back up.
Yeah.
So was it like that for you?
I would say up until that point, but that last bit was like, whew, I can let it go.
And what was the experience of that like for you?
I just felt,
to tell them.
I just felt lighter.
Right. Like a weight was lifted.
Like, you know, we talk about the backpack. Sisyphus. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like the backpack, whatever analogy you want to use. I just felt at ease. I mm-hmm. felt at peace. I mm-hmm. felt lighter. It mm-hmm. was, it was really awesome.
And then you saw a result in your recovery.
I certainly was able to take it to the next level.
Right.
So along the way, because my recovery wasn't a light switch. Mm-hmm. It wasn't awesome. It was like ups and downs. Mm-hmm. It wasn't linear by all means. Mm-mm. So there are times where I took major steps forward and then there are times where I had major steps back. Mm-hmm. And then I had to have some...
life is not linear.
Yeah. So I fell down. I had mm-hmm. to get back up. Mm-hmm. And when you get back up, you have to get moving again. Mm-hmm. Right. So I had all those moments.
So what would you say to somebody that is going through some trauma today? What would you say to them? And I also want to know how your life shifted. You left corporate.
I left corporate in 2014. I would say if someone's going through a moment now, mm-hmm. there's such a value in just pausing mm-hmm. and connecting with your breath and thinking back in a time where you were able to overcome, a time where you were resilient mm-hmm. and recruit that memory, recruit that muscle mm-hmm. so you could be better off, so you can move forward and have a game plan. I would say surround yourself with people that can celebrate you, who can comfort you, mm-hmm. who can challenge you. It's sort of in essence what I write about in my book, Your Peloton.
Right.
So I think all those moments are, all those elements are so needed if we're going to get back up after a trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, the ability to shift our mindset, the ability to sort of see what we still have, see what we still can do, mm-hmm. the ability to get back up again, but also move.
Right.
And surround ourselves with people who care about us.
Right.
Who see the value in us, not them, just all of us. And we sort of all move forward in a, you know, classic analogy of together.
So it's kind of like what popped into my head when you were saying that is like on a bike ride.
Yeah.
When you're like, what do they call it? When somebody's...
The drafting.
Drafting.
Yeah.
So we have to draft together.
We have, and so in a cycling world, we're taking turns being out in front.
Right.
You know, some person is blocking the wind, we're drafting behind, and then we rotate to the back and we get the draft and someone else is leading. And I think that's a big part of life. But making sure that
we're like geese.
Yes, that we surround ourselves with those people that are willing to take a turn out in the front, that we're willing to take a turn out in front, mm-hmm. and then we're helping each other.
Absolutely.
We're lifting each other up. So in 2014, back to your question, I left my corporate job. Mm-hmm. When I was in the ICU, a seed was planted that I knew eventually I'd leave my corporate job mm-hmm. and get into the work I do today, mm-hmm. helping inspire people, lift people up through coaching, through speaking. Mm-hmm. And that seed was planted through something I said in the ICU to my wife.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, really? And so I mentioned the guy that was the first person I knew as an executive coach. I didn't even know executive coaching was a thing back then. And I was like, go find David. And my wife said, who's David? And I was like, oh my gosh, And so in that moment, a seed was planted. And it took 13 years of watering and fertilizing. And in 2014, I knew it was time to go.
Right.
I knew it was like, this is our moment to make our break, to create Peloton.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. So, like, what do you, you know, like, in there's corporate, right? There's that dronism that we're in when we're in corporate. What would you say to somebody who hasn't had that issue, but, like, they haven't had a major accident, but they're thinking about, they're doing the Lone Ranger thing in life and they're going for it. What would you tell that person? It can't last forever.
I would say if someone's trying to really plan their life and do the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan is have moments where they pause and reflect and breathe into it, reflect on where they are. Mm-hmm. So they have awareness, they're mindful of what's in front of them and a real sense of purpose, if you will. Mm-hmm. One can call it passion, but hopefully alignment with their values.
Right.
And have the confidence that they can show up at work on their own terms.
And they don't have to be perfect.
Right. We're going to make mistakes. We're going
to
trip and fumble. We're supposed to. As long as we're learning, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're making the same mistake over and over again, that's a different conversation. But to have more of an alignment-based approach to work.
Okay.
And hey, every company out there changes, right? Even as we mentioned, Wegmans will change. My company changed. And so I what I see is a lot of people who work at companies and their company has changed. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I feel like I'm stuck.
Right.
And so they've also changed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not an alignment, you know.
Because people, we generally think we're static.
Yeah, so.
This conversation I had today with the kids, you know.
Yeah.
We're not static.
Yep.
We're constantly breathing, moving, shifting, changing.
Absolutely.
And I liken it to if I was wearing the same clothes that I wore when I was 16.
Yeah.
I would be on some crazy fashion magazine.
It would be like,
what not to wear.
But it would be like Benetton. Remember Benetton?
Yes, I do.
That was a great brand.
I love that brand.
It's not around
anymore.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
Maybe in Europe, but not in the States.
Yeah.
So I would say checking in with our values, mm-hmm. like our own personal values.
Yes, because they change.
How do they align with your corporate values?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you guys grow apart, like in some relationships, mm-hmm. it's okay to leave.
Right.
Right. No one's keeping you there.
No.
But so many people act as if.
Well, I have to pay the bills.
Yeah. And it's back to you. I know you do a lot of work on this. The self narrative, like, I can't get another job like this anywhere else.
Well, you're not supposed to.
Yeah. And so it's having the self narrative to believe in yourself that you can take your game somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Maybe
you can expand your game.
Yeah, bet on yourself, start your own thing, or even like recreate yourself in another corporation.
Absolutely.
I see a lot of people just not making the changes in their life early enough.
I had a client of mine write a personal mission for her life and a personal mission for corporate, and then merge the two so that she could get
all of it,
right?
Yeah.
And so she actually literally, and she had a great job. Don't get me wrong. She had a great job. And she now has a job that she didn't know she wanted.
Oh,
and
very
she got
cool.
that extremely in a very different way. And now she's working at a company where all of her is appreciated.
Yeah,
all of her skills,
awesome.
All of her talents. And she was able to negotiate everything that she wanted and she got it.
Yeah.
You know, so
I love it.
It's really what is your personal mission, right? And then what is your corporate mission? You find a company that, because there are companies that are out there that are in alignment with what you want, but you have to do the work. And I usually ask my clients to do the work with ease, not like how we're on a mad dash.
Yeah. Or forcing it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of force out there.
I'm reading Gary Zukav's Seat of the Soul.
Okay.
That is an amazing book.
All right.
Right. Because we have to look at who are we, what are we, what do we want, what's important to us. And so he talks about this being is my personality. It's a personality. It's not who I am at a core. Who I am at core is love.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm anything other than that, it's fear.
Yes. Love and fear.
Yes. And so when we're in that, I had to do a cleanup today with somebody and I realized, you know what? Like I was in personality, right? Mm. Which had me be fearful, which had me see myself I hadn't seen this person before in a long, long time, right? And it was like a shock to my system that I could actually get really mad about something and get really attacked.
Absolutely,
And so I had to clean that mess up, have a conversation with her, clean it up, like apologize, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I love the fact that we are love. That's it. Because everything that we do is emanated from love. Because you were in love with that job. You were in love with that person that you were.
Oh, right? Definitely.
But you, something in there knew that wasn't you. It was what you knew.
It was, it wasn't, we use authenticity a lot and sometimes overuse, but I wasn't necessarily showing up or actually wasn't showing up in my full self.
Yes.
And what my accident and the journey and the introspection and the reflection and all that jazz showed me is that I can step into who I truly am.
Own in your voice.
And the thing is, again,
speaking your truth.
The change doesn't happen like overnight.
It's a process.
It's been step by step, like what I like to say, pedal stroke by pedal stroke.
I say baby step, baby step.
You bet. And then even as an entrepreneur, when I left corporate America in 2014, I still had to find, okay, now what? Who am I as an entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so easy for the entrepreneurs out there. They'll know, like, sometimes you take on personalities of all the icons. Like, oh, well, that seems to work. I'll do a little bit of that. Oh, that seems to work. I'll take on a little bit of that. So even that part of my journey, I had to find out, like, okay, who am I?
It's a growth and development. Yeah. It's like, you know, I was a realtor for 15 years. I cried for 2 weeks on my couch when I realized I didn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, I was making money. Yes, I was helping people find homes, but it wasn't me anymore. And I was scared because I was like, oh my God, yes, people are, who am I going to be? People know me as the realtor. They call me the mayor. Who am I going to be? Yeah. And then I was making all this money and I was like, oh my God, I'm only going to make $75 an hour. How do I live? I'm going to stop. I had all this stuff going on. And then I had to say, take a pill, chill.
Yeah.
And find myself. And it really is, it's like Lutherin, right? You slough off the dead skin.
Yeah,
right? It
absolutely.
No longer works. You slough that off. And the new skin, yes, it might be sore, can't hit
but
the sun.
But it comes back.
Then it comes back. Yeah. You know, it recreates itself. And you go back out and you recreate. You're always growing and expanding. We're not static. And what I've found that we're afraid of our family going, you've changed.
Or the people around us.
And you've changed.
And if you have, if you have a Peloton like that, you're not in the right Peloton, right? You don't have a group of people that want to celebrate you, comfort you, challenge you, are there for you in a crisis. You have to surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah.
And in today's world where there's a lot of like loneliness and a lot of things written about loneliness and I think it's so important to have connection.
Absolutely.
So for
but you have to be that connection.
Yeah.
You have to be that thing that you want people to connect and people have to feel you to connect to
Absolutely.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, you just can't just sort of sit out there.
Oh, I'm
going to
connect with you.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I'm speaking to Michael O'Brien, the author of Shift, Creating a Better Tomorrow, Winning at Work and in Life. And your life is now, your work has now become your life. It's like you're zen. You're like really happy.
Absolutely. The happiest I've been.
Awesome. Yeah. Isn't it like giggly and crazy?
It is. Like, I don't necessarily like to talk about like sometimes like how happy I'm doing the work, because I'm like, I really am. So it's like, I don't like to take a day off. I love working on my stuff. Because
you're playing.
Because and I know that what we do, what you do, what so many people who listen to, is like when we show up in the way we can, we change lives.
Yeah.
And if we change one life, we change another life.
My thing is, I help you to transform and change your life.
Yep.
You help somebody else beside you to change their life. You change your whole family's life, and it goes on and on and on. I love it. And that analogy for me is like electricity. I hold your hand, you hold, and we all have electricity in the village. If I'm the only person in the village that has electricity, it's kind of boring.
Well, then everyone comes to your house.
But it's kind of boring because I want to go to other people's houses.
You want to spread the wealth. I think the cascading impact and influence of energy, you know, we can get a lot of catabolic crap going around, like sometimes that happens in society. But when we show up in the way that we can show up with, as you mentioned before, with love, you know, like you can change communities, you can change nations, you can change the world. And I firmly believe that. And
me too.
And I get to do that all the time.
One of my missions, I always say, is like, I want to change the ride on the subway. I want people to be happy doing what they do, truthfully happy doing what they
do. Smiling on the subway.
So they're so excited to go to work and we're all connected.
Yeah. I do believe, and some people may think I'm a bit naive.
I don't care.
I think you can show up in corporations and be really enthusiastic and energized by what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Because I think if we change work in this country, we change society, because we spend so much time at work.
Absolutely. So we have a caller on the line, Mr. Blocker. Thank you for your patience. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hello. So, how are you?
I'm great. Welcome to Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. So, do you have a question for us or a comment?
I was listening to their guest. I think his name is Michael. Is that correct?
Yes, your namesake.
And I was definitely inspired and touched by your story, sir. So just thank you for sharing. And it's great. Keep doing what you're doing, because it makes a difference. It made a difference for me, and I just wanted you to know that.
Well, Mike, thank you very much. Of course, that's awesome.
You're welcome. And, of course, Noreen, you know, I love you, and you've been a great impact in my life. So thank you for the show and for having wonderful guests like him on. And I should listen to the show more, because I get something every time I listen to it. So thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, sweetie. And we have JL King on the call now, on the Facebook Live. JL is he's a writer of the book On the Download. Do you remember that book?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's JL. JL, you should call in at 877-480-4120 and join the conversation. So, thank you. Am I still on the line?
No.
Okay, great. So, do you have anything that you'd like to leave people today? Because we're in the last segment. Like, what do you want to leave people with?
I think one thing I would leave people with, there's a couple. I think it's really important in today's pace is to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds
so simple, right?
Yeah, it's just to find moments. I have a little saying called grab a PBR, which a lot of people were like, is that a Pabst Blue Ribbon? Which is not a Pabst Blue Ribbon, because I don't...
Oh, that's a beer, right?
Yeah. And so the hipsters love it, right? But life, Noreen, is just too short to drink bad beer, no matter how cool it is in Brooklyn, right? So no offense to the people in Brooklyn. It's not good beer. But it's really, for me, it's pause, breathe, and reflect. And having moments throughout the day...
Right.
Instead of going into meeting after meeting, conversation after conversation, just like on the hamster wheel, not being intentional, not being aware, is finding moments to pause.
Right.
The other part of it, too, is during that moment of reflection, we can think about what our self-narrative is. You know, are we in our own head? Is it the narrative of limitations, mm-hmm. of I'm not enough? And there are moments where we've been able to make change.
What was your narrative before you, before your accident? And that had I was driven. My narrative was I was worthless and good for nothing.
I was concerned about being judged, about not being smart enough, sort of imposter syndrome, like mm-hmm. who am I? I was most confident as a young kid, as a mm-hmm. youth, playing sports. I was like, okay, I can do that. Mm-hmm. But school was never a really great fit for me. I wasn't like a poor student, but I wasn't a great student. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I just never
should've
was.
Had immigrant parents.
Yeah, yeah. So I just never felt like I.
That's what I had.
Measured up. I felt like I wasn't necessarily tapping into my potential, and I was limiting my own success. Mm-hmm. So,
but at school, you really don't even know what success is.
Well, at least like, you know, growing up, it was like, if you got an A or if you started comparing yourself, like I definitely had a lot of comparisonitis growing up, even as a young professional, like what did I have versus what other people had? So, and when we moved from Washington, D.C., that's where we met,
right.
We were doing pretty well, like financially compared to our friends. You know, we were all in our young 20s.
Right.
But when I moved up here, all of a sudden I was like, oh, wow, like we fell behind.
Right.
And I started comparing like bigger houses to our house, to what people had, to what we had.
Oh, my God. That's a kiss of death.
I fell into that trap. It was a trap I was in when I was younger. As I got through my recovery, mm-hmm. that went away. I was like, you know what? We got some great stuff. I'm going to. You know, I developed gratitude as a practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say there's a couple different practices I would want to leave listeners with. Is one, develop a gratitude practice
mm-hmm.
to help shift your perspective. Whether you do it in the morning or you do it right at...
I don't care when you do it. Do it when you're sitting on the toilet.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Spend some time. It doesn't have to be hours, but some time each day just being grateful for what you have. It can be the micro things. It can be major. It can even be, I'm grateful for my struggles.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe, going back to breath, that you should start a meditation practice
mm-hmm.
just to, you know, as exercise for your brain, you know,
I call it cleaning out.
Yeah.
It's like taking out the garbage.
So I think there are some practices that people can develop. And again, it doesn't take a lot of time, but gosh, it can be so valuable. It can be cornerstones to having success in your life, success at work. So those are some of the things that
would leave
listeners
with. What would you say to somebody
with.
That says, oh, that's all woo woo?
Well, so I get a lot of that. So when I go out to corporations, I ask people, hey, how many people have a meditation practice? And let's just say there's a group of 100 and about 3 people sort mm-hmm. of raise their hand like this.
In shame, kind of like.
They're like, well, yeah, I sort of do it, right? They don't want to like enthusiastically say, yeah, I do it and it kicks ass. I think a lot of people feel like they're going to lose their edge,
mm-hmm.
right? If they're going to have a gratitude practice, does it mean that they're complacent, right? And being grateful doesn't mean you're complacent. Mm-hmm.
I call it chewing and swallowing.
Yes.
And rather than keeping the food in your mouth and have it go stale and then you end up stinking.
Which is really a disgusting thought, right?
It is.
So, but I think a lot of people think if I start to meditate, because it did have a little bit of a woo-hoo label back in the day, then I'm going to lose my edge and I need mm-hmm. to have my edge. And what I try to share with them is that it actually will
gives
help.
Gives you an edge.
Gives you an edge because... This, I think the people that have success in 2019 going forward are those that can focus in on the things that truly matter.
Mm-hmm.
We are scrolling through our feed. We're multitasking. We're doing all this. We're not being present. And it's slowing us down.
Mm-hmm.
So we got all this stuff going on, but we're not necessarily getting more stuff done.
Right.
So those that can develop an ability to stay focused on the task at hand and truly on the stuff that matters.
Right.
I think they're going to have greater success going forward. So having a gratitude practice, having a meditation practice, mm-hmm. I think
I have gratitude practice. Yeah. I have my Alexa. Alexa says at nighttime, gratitude. Do your gratitude. And then in the morning, I meditate in the morning 15 minutes and I meditate
awesome.
At night 15 minutes.
Awesome.
But I've just got a meditation partner. Let's see if that can go for many years. So
I love how you set up partnerships. Like yeah. I think
because I know myself to be in the past is a lone ranger. I can't do life alone, right? I don't want to do life alone.
Because I think you asked me like what people should do. I think people should follow your lead and
get a partnership.
Yeah, get an accountability
partner. I have a meditation partner. I think, I have an accountability partner.
You know, it's you know.
I have a coach.
Yeah,
I have a love coach.
Yeah, well, that's so that those are all members. Like my language, all members are your Peloton, right. And that's how you make life awesome.
Right.
That's how you make your career awesome. When you surround yourself with those people that can hold you accountable,
absolutely.
That again can celebrate you, can cheerlead you.
We all have to do that. What we're sharing, selling, teaching, we have to do it for ourselves. If I'm not doing it, then I'm a hypocrite. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, I
pretty
can't
much.
Talk. If I can't, what is it, walk the talk?
You can't if you don't walk the talk.
Shut the fuck up.
You know, you don't have alignment. you don't have, or you can, yeah, you can say it that way too, right? So, but it's empty words, right? So
absolutely.
People, there are a lot of words out there. There's a lot of noise
and
out
words
there.
Words have vibrations.
Yeah, but.
And words create our world.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
Yeah.
Right? So, but people are paying attention to what action you take. So we can be
people love watching.
We can do all the Facebook lives, all the videos, all the whatever. Yeah. But if we ain't walking it, then people don't see us as authentic.
Thank you. So thank you so much for coming on the show. This was awesome.
That was great. It was awesome.
It.
I loved it. It was
loved
thank
it.
You for having
thank
me on.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm really happy. And I'm glad to be back. And so I thank you all for tuning into the show, especially my little baby sister who's 5'11". And I'll see you all next week on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Go out and live your life. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.